beautiful faces out there. Thank you. Honorable Rabbi, Azanim, I thought I would start today by giving you a little history lesson. How many of you people enjoy history? Because I love it. And maybe we can understand what made Sally sell. I'm going to take you back to Ottoman Constantinople, Turkey. Not Istanbul, but Constantinople. A ship leaves the port, and on that ship is Simon Tov Nachmias with his new wife and their first child from that wife, Albert Nachmias. Many of you people out there know him as Big Murph. This is Little Murph over here. Also on that boat is his two sons from a previous marriage. I have no record of her, but her name was Sultana. That's all we know. And she had two sons with Simon Tov, Marco and Joseph. Donna's maiden name was Motro, M-O-T-R-O. Also, that name is not known in Seattle. I've heard it's in Israel and out there, but other than that, I have no history on that name, Motro, M-O-T-R-O. They sail through the Bosphorus into the Mediterranean. They stop at Le Havre, France. Le Havre, France is at the mouth of the Seine River, and they would catch a ship from there, and it was the steamship Chicago. Years later, in World War II, that port of Le Havre would be totally wiped out by the Allied forces invading Normandy because it was occupied France. But anyway, back to 1913, they would arrive at Ellis Island and take the long trip to Seattle, and their first home would be 1041 Jackson. It's on the right hand of the street in the International District, right off of 10th there. They would later move between Washington and Maine, between 12th and 14th Avenue, not far from here, and this is where Sally was born. Later, they would move up to Remington Court. Remington Court is between 12th and 14th, between Jefferson and Alder. So the immigrants, they didn't move far. They stayed very close. And usually the homes that they would move into was somebody of the community who would move out and go. This is where Sally would start her early years. She attended Pacific School, which no longer is in existence. And if you would go to the Seattle U soccer field is there today. Sally would, this was during the Depression, and Sally would lose her father and her brother within, I believe, 6 months. And this would be a very traumatic experience for Sally. Her mother couldn't cope. There was no money coming in, and they went on. There was no welfare from the state, but there was Jewish welfare. And my Uncle Ike tells me they would get tickets worth $35 a month. That was your allotment, and that's what you lived on. So Murphy sold papers, and Ventura did what she could do with the family, and they managed, but it wasn't easy at all. And I think this had a great effect on my mother, because the house was a happy house. It was full of laughter. There was dancing, there was singing, they had relatives over all the time. They would drink coffee. And this was the way of the, what they called themselves, the Istanbulis, because they were from Istanbul, and they were very tight. And they all watched out for each other. And all of a sudden, for everything to change, it was a very unhappy time. She used to tell me they'd go to the circus on 14th and Yesler, and there would be an ice cream cone stand. And the ice cream cone cost a nickel, and she couldn't get it. She didn't have a nickel. And I think that stayed with her. And as she grew, she went to Garfield High School, graduated in 1934. And as she grew older, she appreciated everything because she had nothing. So everything that she was able to afford, she enjoyed it to the fullest. And she wanted everybody around her to enjoy it. She didn't want to be sad. There was no sadness. It was always to be happy. Sally married my father, David Olhadoff, 1940, and she raised myself, my brother, and Barbara. And I remember the day she got a driver's license. She was one of the first Sephardic women in Seattle to drive a car from that generation. And right away, what she did is she drove around delivering food to the poor. She'd go to the clientele and pick up the ladies so they can get their hair done. But it was all for good deeds. It wasn't for, you know, to show or to just go gallivant around. She would always help people because she knew what it was not to have. And this she did for the rest of her life. She was a very engaging woman. My guess was that she didn't come in contact with hundreds of people. She came in contact with thousands of people in her life, and she made an impression on all of them. For some reason, it wasn't just a hello, goodbye. When Sally saw you, she would talk to you, and it could last from 5 minutes to a half hour. But she was very interested and concerned about you, your family, and she did that with everybody. She didn't judge people. She was unjudgmental. No matter where you are, where you came from, what your lifestyle was, everybody across the board was equal to 100%. And this is how she treated each and every one. And everyone would remember that, and they would tell me, "Your mother Sally, oh, she's, you know, I saw her. She, you know, she took care of me. What she did." And they it's something amazing that she truly, when she would gauge it, she truly was interested and not just to say hello, goodbye. I'm going to tell a story about the old neighborhood. Louise would say, "Oh, here we go again, the old neighborhood." there used to be a down and out fellow. His name was Eddie, and Eddie had one eye, so he was a scary looking man for all the kids in the neighborhood, because, you know, they'd never seen anybody quite like that. But he would do odd jobs in the neighborhood. I remember he'd wash windows in my house and clean out the garage. And he had nothing. He had nothing. Maybe after my mother paid him, he probably drank it away. But still, he would come over maybe once a month. And Sally would say, "It's because of you." Sally said, "Tell Eddie to come in. We're going to eat." And I said, "Eddie, yeah, tell Eddie it's because of you." She would say, "You can't expect a man to go to work on an empty stomach." So Sally would bring the man in, and the meal that she would feed him is the same meal that she fed us. And that's, I mean, she, to take care of somebody like that was just as important as feeding her own children. So that's how she looked at other people. Another story is her good friend Mary Ferrari was in the hospital and not well, and Sally was going to go up to visit, as she always did. She'd always go visit people in the hospital, and she'd walk in, and the shades would be pulled, and she'd flip open the lights, open the shades, and, "All right, comb your hair, put some lipstick on, and you'll feel better. You know, forget what the doctor's doing, just do this, you'll feel, oh, you know, wash your face, you're going to feel better." And they did feel better. And I remember Mary, not necessarily Mary Ferrari was the one that she was talking to, but after Mary was well and she came in, she said, "Joey, when your mother walked into the room, it was like a breath of fresh air." And that's how, you know, how I remember her. She was a very attractive woman, beautiful skin, dark skin, black hair, and kind of greenish eyes. She had very mysterious eyes. And as long as her brother and sister, they were very, very attractive people. Sally was a teacher to me and my brother, my sister. Now, I don't mean teacher in the sense as I'm going to teach you something. You just, by watching her and picking up her traits, you didn't know that she was teaching you, but you were picking it up and understanding what was going on and why she was the way she was. And so I just want to leave you with a good memory. She loved all of you very, very much. I know she came in contact with every single one of you out there at least once or twice or 100 times. And I want to thank you all for coming today. Thank you.